great privilege we have to gather together this morning to seek you together, God. And Lord, I pray that this morning would be one more step in our story towards you that would change all eternity for us and for others. Lord, we mean these words. This is our story. This is our song. Praising you, our Savior, all day long. Oh God, we give you this time as worship. Have our ears and our hearts. And our time here, we would encounter you in such a way, we would leave here changed. We would leave here ready. We would leave here believing in what you have for us. Pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, it is the start of the school year, yeah? We've got some students here. If you're a student starting school, we want to have you just stand up. And do you want to have them come up? Come on up here. Come on, you guys. I got some kids in school. Come on, Nikki, Nicole, Vivi, Fiona. Come on, you guys. Hey, our students are incredible. All you kids, come on over. That's right. We got the big kids and the smaller kids. This is great. It is a privilege we have as a committee of God's people to raise up these children and young adults, some of them here, to follow Jesus. Amen? Amen? And one of the ways, yeah, let's give them a hand. This is amazing. Wow. One of the ways that we can be involved, even though we can't go to school with them, some of them we can, homeschoolers, but there's so much of this that's on their own, isn't it? And so much of this is a challenge. Like, I remember I didn't feel very smart. I was behind a lot when I was a young child, and I had a lot of learning disabilities. But I had people praying for me. I had people encouraging me. And somehow God used that to change my trajectory. And I believe that he'll do the same for these kids. So would you guys just lift your hands towards them, raise your hands towards these kids, and let's pray over them as they start the school year. Father God, we thank you for all of these children and teens. God, we pray that you would protect them from the wrong ideas and philosophies that the world is throwing at them to try to destroy their identity, to try to turn them the wrong direction. God, we pray you would empower them to know who they are in you, that they are made to be your children, made to follow you, Jesus, into an incredible life. And Lord, you will use even their weaknesses, even things they're not good at, as a testimony of your strength, Lord. They would find that to be true. They would ask for your help when they're struggling. Lord, I pray that they would see you're there with them at school. Pray that you would surround them with people who would be encouraging them. Lord, help this congregation and all the believers, the adults, the aunts, the uncles, the brothers and sisters in Christ to be thinking of them and speaking to them your words of encouragement. Lord, don't let us fail to do that. Lord, help us be bold, even if we don't know them that well, to say, how's school going? How are you doing? Lord, I pray that you would help them to be a good friend. Lord, so many kids at school struggling. They'd be a good friend. And you give them good friends that know you, that they could grow in together. And Lord, I just pray that this time of preparation in their lives, they would take serious. They would develop themselves. They would learn what they need to so that they could serve you with their lives, Lord. I pray their education would prepare them for a life of service and love and making a difference. And we just pray over these children. They're such a blessing. Help us never forget they're a blessing. They're not a burden. And I pray they would know that. Pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said? Amen. Amen. All right. You guys can have a seat. Thank you so much. Awesome. Well, thank you, Kelly. Unfortunately, my beautiful bride is not able to be here this morning. She, as you know, was in an accident last year and still has some physical, from breaking her back, she has some pain issues and ability. So I think she pushed it a little bit. It doesn't take much. That's the problem that she's finding. But she was processing some apples from her backyard yesterday, making some applesauce. Whatever she did took her out. So she's probably online watching right now. She's going to try. So hello, Jen. Everyone say hello, Jen. We love you. Yeah. And we know that. You guys have loved our family through a lot of things, and we really appreciate it. We would not be where we're at without you. That's the truth. I am going to be speaking today about... Sorry. I'm going to grab this. Okay. Sorry, I left some stuff there. All right. So I'm going to be speaking about it's never too late. Everyone say that. It's never too late. That's right. It's never too late. That is the grace of God. You know, we all get through life and sometimes we feel like it's too late. Sometimes we feel like we missed the bus. Sometimes we feel like life's getting away from us. It goes fast, doesn't it? I got a graduate right here. I mean, it's just crazy. She's awesome. But it just shocked me this year. I was like, wow, my oldest daughter is graduating from high school. That's just intense. Like, where did the time go? That's right. So life goes fast. And so this is a great opportunity, I believe. God put on my heart, and I was talking to some of the team, and they were saying, yes, this is a good message. I think this is what God wants to say. So I'm believing that too. It's never too late. God has plans for all of us. And it's at the point that we fully commit to God that he can fully commit to working his plan in our lives. There's this kind of relationship, right? And I'm praying this morning that as we're together and God is speaking, that you will hear his voice and that you respond and that you will give what you have completely to him in a greater way today. And I believe he can help us do that. He's done it for me. So this is kind of a check-in. I want to give just a little update. As you know, we run this ministry, Passion for People International, and you guys have been a great support to us. We're going to have a lunch afterwards. We'll share more of an update. But we've had a great summer, both here in the States and overseas in our different training groups. We have master trainers. We have groups that go out and make a difference. And God is doing amazing things all over the place. And I wish I could tell you all the stories, but I'll just tell you a couple. One, we did a push week right here in Portland in August. Last month, we had about 100 people participate. 100 believers from different churches working together. Some in traditional churches like this. Some from this network of simple churches, house churches. We all worked together. We went out and we were able to go on the public transit system. We were able to go to parks. We went to apartment complexes, neighborhoods, and we got to share our testimony. We got to share the story of Jesus, scriptures. We got to pray with people. We prayed for over 500 people. Isn't that amazing? Literally prayed with them. Yeah, it was awesome. We had about 100 people give us their contact info and say, we're interested in knowing more. We're interested in having further conversations. We had, I think, about 27 invites that where people came back. I've been going back to some houses. Last weekend, I went back to some houses. And we do what we call a discovery Bible study. We just open the Bible, read it a few times, and ask some questions, and really believe God will speak to people. Because he speaks to us when we do that. And God starts moving people's hearts. He starts opening up their faith. You know, Glory's been doing it with us for a few months now. It's really been cool. And now she's at a place in faith where she's saying, I'm going to go public. I'm committing. And that's an awesome thing, isn't it? But God is doing that, and he's working through ordinary people. This wasn't 100 Brad Butchers, okay? This is just 100 ordinary people, work different jobs, parents, grandparents, kids, My kids are at these, you know, right here in front. I'll just introduce Ruby's over here next to Amelia. Ruby, you want to wave? Yeah, and Amelia's here, and Nicole is here. Nicole, give it a little wave. They can see you, yeah. Savannah's my youngest. It's hard to recognize her. She's getting so tall. And, of course, Shay and I. And then we've got Fiona and Vivi right here on the end, which is awesome. And I don't know some of the others because they're, you know, I've met them at a birthday party one time, I think, which is really great. You guys did a great job on that party. That was a lot of fun. and they're wonderful people. But these guys went out with us, and we teach people to share a 30-second to 60-second testimony. But it's really just simple, right? But it just is like, hey, do you have a story like that? I did this at the gym 2 days ago, okay? And I was just sharing with a guy we met there and just talked about, man, I used to be selfish and angry and insecure. Then I met someone who was not like that. And they had a lot of love and peace and joy, and they were always serving. And they told me it was Jesus. The difference between knowing about Jesus, actually surrendering your life to Jesus. And I knew that's what I needed. I couldn't change myself. So I asked Jesus to take my life, and he did. And since then, I've had purpose. I've been able to forgive from the abuse that I had as a child. And now I'm living for Jesus. He gives me direction. He fills my heart with love. And I said, do you have a story like that? And the guy's sitting there, you know, with his, you know, I don't know, he's doing like the ab one or something. and his name is Mike, actually. And he said, yeah, I actually do have a story like that. It was really interesting. He said, when I was a teenager, I got hit by a car when I was on the road, like playing on his bike or he's running or something. He just got nailed. He's telling me all these different broken bones and things, and his organs were displaced, and he had all this stuff, and he was in the hospital for a long time. And but somehow, he was miraculously healed. And that's why he's at the gym. And he's, you know, he's my age. And he goes, so I know it was God. I know that Jesus saved my life, and I have faith in him. And I said, wow, that's exciting, man. It's so awesome. And I said, so, you know, what do you think he has for you as you go forward right now? And he said, I don't know. I don't really know my purpose. I'm just kind of getting by. You know, I got rid of drugs and alcohol. I used to be addicted. And part of my story is just realizing God saved me for a reason, so I gave those things up. But I don't know what to do now. I say, well, what if we went on a little journey together and started looking at what God's purpose is for you? And he said, yeah, I'd be open to that. So you can pray for Mike, right? That was just a couple days ago. But that's kind of how it works, is just hearing people's story, telling your story, and God starts showing himself to people. And I believe God has a plan for every human being on this planet. Anyone agree with that? But a lot of them just don't know. They don't know the Lord. They don't know what he has for them. And we get this awesome privilege to be that light shining in the darkness, saying, yeah, you do have a purpose. You are special to God. You are someone immensely valuable. And the blood of Christ proves it, because he shed his blood for you. So, yeah, we went out and we did the push week. And thank you for praying. Some of you were on our prayer team praying for that. And we're still in conversations. Even today, I'm going to go. I got a call from a lady like 3 days ago, Estella. And she's like, hey, I'm in. I was like, what? She's like, yeah. You know, you were asking me if I wanted to help reach the neighborhood. This is just a few blocks from my house. And I've decided that I'm in. In fact, I got a neighbor we can go to this weekend. When are you going to come? We'll go together. She was so direct. I was just like, wow, I think God's speaking to her. This is really cool. I don't usually get people saying stuff like this. You see, God is wanting to show us his power in ways that we don't expect. Isn't that what the Bible's full of? Unexpected encounters? We're like, whoa, what? He just healed a blind person? Just made a lame person walk? Just totally changed someone's heart? That's God, only God. Right? And some of us haven't seen only God enough. Who hasn't seen only God enough? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You haven't seen the power of God enough. You want more. Who wants more?
Anybody want more? I'm raising both hands. I'm raising both feet. Right? Hey, it's possible, and it's actually planned. What is God waiting for? I believe he's waiting for you to go all in. Because the things God wants to show are for those who are all in. Those who earnestly seek him. Those who are saying, God, I can't do this, God. I got nothing. He lifts up those who humble themselves before him. Right? Now, man, I could go on, but I've got limited time, so I'm not going to. Okay. I went to Nepal and India just a couple months ago and did another level of training with our guys, and I was so blessed. I had about 40 Indian leaders holding up maps of 15 empty fields. These are places where there aren't churches, there aren't Christians. They had to do some research. They had 4 months, and they went around, and they found all these places, and they were like, this is where we need to go, and we are committed to going. And we're going to go there and look for people that God has already prepared. Because that's what Jesus says. The harvest is? The workers are? Therefore? Go and pray, right? Yeah, exactly. And that's what we did. We started praying. We were like praying over those maps. We were like praying earnestly. Like, God, please give us more workers to go to these places. I mean, look at these people living in darkness. People praying to these idols that are going to do nothing for them. People who are enslaved to Islam. And it's just, it's dark. It's oppressive. They don't know the peace. They don't know the love of God. He's not a person. It's a relationship person to them. But that's the opposite of the God of the Bible. God of the Bible is not just trying to, like, Gloria experience. There's forms of Christianity that can be like Islam, where it's like, you better do this, or right? But that's not what God wants. He's a relational God. He incarnated in the form of Jesus because he knew when he's invisible, it's hard to relate to him. So he came in the flesh and said, yeah, I want you to know me really intimately. And then he went the extra mile. We're going to talk about this today. The only hope we have, and this is for all of us, whether you're Jew, Gentile, or whether you're any race or from any country, any place, any age, this is the hope. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. That's the hope of your life being different. Everyone say it. Christ in me. Christ in me. Christ in me. Hey, you ain't got Christ in you. You ain't got no hope. There's no hope of glory. Because your flesh, your person, does not have what it takes. You are going to be spinning your wheels. You're going to be trying like I did, living a double life, trying to impress people, trying to be religious. But then, hey, just being the punk that you are, when it doesn't seem like it matters, when the voices and the influences around you are trying to get you to do something else, you won't have that strength. You won't be yourself. But Christ in you makes you fully yourself. Christ, who designed you, who created you in your mother's womb, knows who you're supposed to be. And when he comes in you, he starts to form that. And it's a miracle. If anyone is in Christ and Christ is in them, they are a new creature. Not like modified creature, not like little better creature. You know, Jesus didn't come to make us better. Don't be deceived. He came to make dead people alive. He came to make dead people spiritually, people who had no connection, people who couldn't see God, couldn't hear God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling that way. It's like, I don't feel connected. I don't really hear God. I don't really sense his presence. I don't have the fear of God. I don't have this, I can't hear his voice. There's good news. He wants you to, and he's made a plan and a way for you to be in relationship with him where you can hear his voice, you can know him personally. You can walk with God no matter what you've done, where you've been. That's the good news. But when you know the Lord, you can hear his voice. You can feel his presence. And he walks with you, and he's with you. And it changes everything. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have passed away. The old things that used to hold you, the old things that they're like, oh, I got to do this, I got to have this, all the greed, all the lust, all the seeking pleasure, all the seeking glory for yourself, all the insecurities, because everything was about you. By the way, it's an empty, depressing way to live. I used to live it. They say that this younger generation of like 25 and younger, the most depressed generation that we can remember in our country. Isn't that interesting? But part of it, I think, is because everyone's saying, it's about you. Be who you want to be. Do what you want to do. Me, me, me. And God's saying, hey, whoever tries to save their life for themselves will lose it. You're not going to ever be happy enough. You're never going to have enough. Never going to have enough people saying good things about you, liking you, wanting to be with you. It's never going to be enough. And it's not going to last. I remember that. You could impress your friends in high school because you made some accomplishment on the field, or maybe you got some brand new gear, you know, and you look cool. But then someone else gets something cool. It's like, oh, drop you, go here, right? It's just the people's praise doesn't last. It's like so fleeting, right? Next week, they're going to announce a new iPhone 16. Guess what happened to your iPhone 15 and your 14 and your 13? Just lost value, right? It's just the nature of the beast. It's never going to satisfy you. But Jesus, creator of the universe, coming into your life and having a plan for you that will span on into eternity. There's an eternity. There is a life beyond this life. It's real, and it's never ending, and it's way more important. If you go to the beach, you pick up one grain of sand. That's like this short 70 to 100 years, if you're lucky. And the whole beach of sand is eternity. Which one are you going to live for? Right? I mean, the fool lives for the grain. The wise person lives for the whole beach. And this is the reality that God is trying to warn us. There is a warning that God is giving us, an awakening. In the end of the Bible, we find the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at chapter 3, verse 14. And I want you to see the loving warning of Almighty God. Hey, this is how real this is, okay? There was a shooting in Georgia this last week. Anyone read about that? Okay. Now, the most tragic part to the shooting in Georgia was that this boy that killed people had already been threatening to hurt people at school, and the police had gone to their house and warned the father about it and said, look, don't ever let your son have guns available to him. And you need to get him some help. And like the things he's saying, it's clear that he is not in the right mind. You need to do something with your son. The school was trying to say it. People were saying that to this family. They were warning them. This is not going to end well. Do something. Did the father listen? No. Actually, the father's getting secondary manslaughter charges, right? Because he was a fool. He's like, no, he wouldn't do that. No, he's my son. He's good. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to do it. You know, you guys are too controlling. You know, all the stuff. And he was just a fool. And he gave his access to the guns to his son. What did his son do? What he said he was going to do. And he killed people. And that's no game. That's no joke. You see, the scripture we're looking at today is actually just as critical as what the authorities were saying to this family about their son. This is a father saying this to you as a human being that are his offspring, that he wants something great for and not something tragic for. Let's take a look. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, right? The words of the Amen. That means yes. That means there's a yes answer from God through this person. There's an invitation through this person. There's an open arms with God through this person. Who is the amen? Who is the open door? Let me hear it.
Jesus.
He's the amen. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of God's creation. He is the one who God used to create everything. Everything was created for him, by him, through him, Jesus Christ. He's awesome. He's the one talking. If you have a red letter Bible, what color are the words? This is Jesus talking. Hey, are you going to listen? Can he talk to you today? Can he say something to you today? Everyone, just take a moment. Will you take a moment? Say, God, will you talk to me right now? God, will you help me to hear you right now? God, don't let me miss it. If this is going to change my life, don't let me miss it. Are you telling him? Amen? Hey, whoever calls up on me, I will hear them and answer them. That's what God says. If you just told him that, he's going to speak to you today. Okay? Here's what he says. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you're either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and have prospered, and I need nothing. But not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich. Wow. So that you may be rich. And white garments that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve for your eyes, so that you may see. Now look at this. Those whom I love, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. There's the invitation. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen? Let him hear. That's an invitation. Hey, by the way, that word here, we got parents here, right? When you say, hey, didn't you hear me? What do you mean? Why aren't you doing something, right? Why aren't you doing what I said? The word here in the Bible is interchangeable with obey. Did you know that? It's an interesting thing. You'll see. The same word sometimes is translated here, sometimes translated obey. It's really interesting. So what he's saying is whoever can hear this, I'll know that you are actually listening if you do what it says, if you act upon this. And that's what God is inviting you to today. I can't make you do that. No one can. That's the beauty of the relationship with God. He's not a slave master. He is not an oppressive God like Satan wants us to think. He's a very invitational God. He's a loving Father. He's pleading with us. Right? He's pleading with us. Because the consequences are heavy and eternal. And he's saying, don't plug your ears. Listen to this. Do something. If you don't, it could have drastic impact on you for all eternity. These are the words of life for you. This is could change your trajectory. This could really make a difference for you. I have greater plans for you. I love you. I want you to conquer. I want you to sit on my throne with me. I want you to have glory that's going to last forever. I don't want you wasting your life. You matter. Hello. Hello. Are you listening? That's why he says, be zealous and repent.
This is not like, okay, I'm going to try to read my Bible a little bit more tomorrow. You know, I'm going to spend 5 more minutes praying. Oh, maybe. I don't know. My neck's kind of cranked. Maybe I'll sleep in a little bit. Hey. Be zealous. Be zealous. Take decisive action when God speaks to you. You see, that's what God's looking for. People that are hearing from him today, and they're going to do something. And it's going to have to be with some zeal, because everything in this planet is trying to get you not to listen to God, trying to get you to listen to them, and to waste your life, and to throw it away, and to put God on the side, and to be like God Schmod. Yeah, you know, I do a little bit. I try to do Sunday service. Hey, being a follower of Jesus is not about going from one meeting to another. It's not about coming to the meetings. The Bible story is not about, it's not a list of church service meetings that give us the details. Yeah, they sang 4 songs and they did this and it was really cool and this person gave a really cool testimony. It was great. No, it's about people who give up everything and start following Jesus and start making disciples, and God shows up. Ordinary people like fishermen and tax people, IRS people, and, you know, people that you don't expect. And God's doing awesome things to him. He didn't pick the clergy. He didn't pick the seminary grads. Right? He picked the ordinary. Because he's like, hey, you, if you're ordinary here, guess what? You qualify for my team. And I got big plans for you, but it's going to cost you everything. You're going to have to give up some things. You're going to have to realize some things. So, what is the problem? This is the last book of the Bible. Everyone agree with that? Some people try to add more, but this is really the last one. This is the last chance. It's actually the last church that he's saying something to. And you know what? We're kind of in the last days. Did you know that? And this might be some of your last chances. You don't know. That's the reality. And I'm just kind of saying, hey, at some point God got through to me and grabbed hold of me, and he became real to me. Jesus Christ coming back was actually the deciding thing. When I was at Camp Tadmore, I was just up there yesterday, men's roundup, okay? Brought back some memories. That's where I made that decision, out in the woods. Someone had been preaching all week, talking about Jesus Christ, the fact that he's coming back. And when he comes back, he is going to gather all the nations to himself. And he's going to judge them. That's what's going to happen. It's not going to matter what people thought of you. It's not going to matter what you thought of yourself. The only opinion that is going to matter on the day is Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a great day for some, and it's going to be a terrible day for others. And that judgment that happens is final. There's no going back. There's no second chance. There's no like, okay, hey, time out. Can we do like time machine thing? Go back. And it hit me at Tadmore. And I said, wow, Jesus, if you actually rose from the dead, everything you said is true, and you're coming back, I'm in a heap of trouble. Because I have been doing my thing, living for myself. Oh, yeah, I could fake people, but I can't fake you. You know everything I've done. I have shamed you so badly. I've been saying I'm a Christian, but I haven't been doing anything. I can't do anything, God. And I just fell to my knees and said, if you want this life, you can have it. And you got to change it, because I can't do it. And I repented, and I surrendered. And I said, save me, wash me, change me. Come into me. Be my savior. I need to be saved. I've tried religion. I've tried all these things. It didn't work. I need to be saved. Take my heart, my life. Come into me. And he did. He just did. I had such joy on that day. I had such confidence. Like, you came, you're here, you're with me. I can hear your voice. I can feel your presence. Because that's what he says. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, calls him Lord, surrenders to him, says, you're the boss. You're the one that everything's about. I don't want to be about me. I want to be about you. You're the one that's the rightful owner of this life. You created me. You said you made a plan for my life. And I've been making my own plans. And I repent. And I want your plan, God. Whatever it is. And I just surrendered my life to him. And he came in. And I've never been the same. People can tell you. I'm still not the same. And I have to repent again sometimes because I get caught up in the world's things. It's a process, right? But I can hear his voice. I know I'm saved because my heart's desire is to be hot and not cold and not lukewarm. And I keep seeing that Jesus is coming back. And I keep saying, Lord, would you help me be ready? This is a warning today to do whatever it takes. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what's holding you back. But here, we see a couple things. One, he says, wow, you say I'm rich and have prospered and need nothing. But you're actually wretched, pitiful, and poor. See, the world's telling us we've arrived when we have XYZ. When we have these things. When people like us. When we have a lot of stuff. But none of that's going to last, is it? It's going to burn up. It's going to be gone. That's the point, right? If that is what you are measuring your life by, then you're missing it. You're missing something. You're actually really poor because you haven't been giving your all for Jesus Christ. You haven't been sharing him with people, sacrificing for him. The Old Testament apologetic was Israel will be prosperous. And they'd have this great promised land. They'd have everything, and the rest of the nations would know, wow, your God is awesome. But it didn't really prove to be a great apologetic, because whenever Israel would prosper, they would forget God, right? And then they would just be stupid. Hey, we live in a very prosperous nation. We're liable to do the same thing. In the New Testament, the apologetic is actually the opposite. It's the opposite, because it's what we give up for Jesus that shows how worthy he is, how true he is, and that the promises for eternal life are actually real, and that kingdom is coming is actually an existing place, and it matters, and it's huge. And so it's whoever gives up everything to follow him that finds life and really lives, right? It's the one who says, yes, Jesus, you're worth everything. I don't need all that stuff. I've got you. Back then, they could have the Holy Spirit come upon them. Now we get the Holy Spirit dwelling in us that fills up our tank, that makes us know we're loved. I have friends who live in terrible conditions, who are very poor. But I'll tell you what, if you go hang out with them, you will see the joy of the Lord. You will see how they give themselves for the gospel. You will be like, wow, these people are amazing. Look how happy they are. But they live in like the dump compared to us. Like, they don't need that for their happiness. And they're going to be really happy when they meet Jesus, because they're all in. Right? So I say to you, are you all in today? I know that at this point, the service needs to come to a close. But I want to ask you, take a moment right now, because there's an invitation here. I counsel you, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. God's gold is to do his work, to know him, right? To be with Jesus, to spend time with him, to know him, to become like him, right? And to do the mission that he called all of us to be part of. Right? It's in the Bible. The commands are clear, and giving yourself to that, giving all your time and money towards that as a priority, is going to be a hot way to live. In your handout, there is what I call the Jesus lifestyle. It's just a simple practice lots of people are doing around the world to show that they're all in with Jesus. And I encourage you, take a look at that. If you want to train, let us know. We have some training we can give you to begin walking some of this out. It's an invitation. It's going to cost you. But I think you'll find, if you're not already doing it, some of you are already doing it. If you're not, this might be something to really take serious and go for. Buy gold from me, refined, so you may be rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself and cover your shame, and salve for your eyes. Those I love, I reprove. Be zealous and repent. So right now, I want us to do something that's a little bit strange. I want us to, as God is prompting in your heart, we're all going to pray out loud at the same time. Okay? By the way, people do this all over the world. We're not as used to it here in America. But Christians all over the world do this at times when they gather, because it gives them a chance to pray unashamedly, unholding back, just giving it out to God, because there's something about saying something out loud that gives you a greater opportunity to be zealous and to be really repenting sometimes and just giving it out to God. So I want to give us a chance to do it, and I encourage you to keep doing it as God brings new things to your mind until you feel peace, until you know, wow, yes, I'm giving all that to God. Hey, it may be addictions that you have that are coping with life instead of going to Jesus. Maybe not being in community and you're just selfish with your time. You're not really with other people to know the Lord, to become like him, to seek his mission. And maybe you just need to be like, Lord, I've just been wasting a lot of time on devices, on me, a lot of money. I know you've got more. And you just start repenting. You just start giving them all that and saying, just clear it out, Lord. I'm lukewarm. I'm just like only in like this. I feel like a hero going to church. Oh, yeah. I went to church today. I'm a huge Christian. And then, football game's going on right now. Yeah, that's right. You know, it's like, God, don't bother me. I've already given you like a huge sacrifice. We can do that, can't we? And it's kind of silly. Because we get to give ourselves to the King. We get to give our hours and our days to him and our money to him. Because when we give it to him, he uses it for something awesome. He like makes it actually matter versus just letting it waste away. So right now, I just want, how about, can we stand up? Is that all right? Everybody stand up. And if you want to know more about this Jesus lifestyle, like I said, love to tell you. Because sometimes it's when we compare ourselves to others that are like us, we feel like we're pretty good. But when you get to hear stories of other Christians around the world who are hot for God, like we've been doing this 21-day study, discipler study, and we're going into prayer right now, what it looks like to be a disciple who prays. And the first story is this guy, he said, yeah, I get up at 5 in the morning and I pray for 2 hours. And this is very common. 4 hours? 4 minutes. Four in the morning. Sorry. Shane and I has also been doing the study. I get up at 4 in the morning and I spend 2 hours alone with God before the rest of everything happens, right? Because I love God and I love being with him. And he just fills me and he's worth that time. And Jesus did the same, didn't he? All night sometimes. Would you open, as you pray to God, say, God, would you just open my mind and my heart to what this might look like to be hot? Because maybe my version of it is not that hot. Would you just blow it away, God? Would people be thinking, oh, Jesus must be a big deal? Because they look at your life and go, wow, they're just all about Jesus. They're like all in. Wouldn't that be awesome? And it's possible. It's possible. It's never too late. Because Jesus is the one that does it. Your part is to surrender and say, God, I can't do it.
Will you change me? Will you fire me up? Will you just break down all those lies holding me? Will you change my life? Will you let the trajectory go like this from now on? That I would be hot? Because the result is, if you don't hear this message and you're lukewarm, what is Jesus trying to keep from happening? I will vomit you out. Like, I love you. But you know what? The way you show that I actually live in you is that you can't stay lukewarm. Because I'm not lukewarm. And if I'm living in you, you're not going to be lukewarm. Amen? So that's how you show you belong to me, is you're like letting me do the work. So let's just pray all at the same time. Just pray out, and as it winds down, I'll just close that, and the team will come up, and we'll close with a song. And hopefully I see a lot of you in the cafe, because we've got some really cool pictures and things to show you what God's doing, and invitation to be part of it as God leads. So let's all pray. Out loud. 1, 2, 3. God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that I can hear your voice right now, Lord. And I am asking that you would right now, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for hearing these prayers. Father, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, we thank you that you have prepared a kingdom for us and you want us to be ready. And you've given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge and relationship with you. And you've given us the promises we need to hold on to so that we can escape the corruption of this world that's always trying to get us. And Lord, we can live out this relationship with you to be fruitful with it, God. Lord, thank you that you're looking for workers who will go out to that harvest field and will invest in people, often even eating with them, being with people that are far from you. Lord, they'll be unashamed of your word. God, we thank you that in the book of Revelation, we see clearly what's going to happen when this world ends. And it's a gracious warning to us that this is actually what's going to happen. And you want us to know that you are going to rule as Supreme King. And you want us to be right there with you, Lord. And I just pray that your revelation would be our appetite, God. I pray that the starting point for this repentance would be to renew our minds so we can offer ourselves more fully, Lord, to get that fresh vision from you. Lord, I pray too for everyone that's repented today. Lord, you told us that we should confess our sins to one another and pray for each other that we might be healed, Lord. Some of us need healing. We need to be delivered from addictions. We need to be delivered from bad habits. We need to be doing good habits to seek your intimacy with others so that we can keep doing it for a long time. God, I just pray whatever's needed, would you just start conversations? Would you just start working this through? This would not be a secret journey, but one we share together, Lord, so that as a body we can grow and we can see your kingdom come in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we pray all this because we really do want to see you come back soon, Jesus. And we just offer ourselves to fulfill your commission together. And Lord, we just pray all this in great gratitude that you're the one that's going to change what needs changed. That's your gift to us. Pray this in your mighty name. Everyone said,
amen. Amen.